Okay. Take two. Roll the open.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
So there's only one thing on our mind this week.
Halloween.
Exactly. Gotta love that. Love that holiday. But I love what it was.
See, your perception is off, I think. Because I'm not disagreeing with you. I completely agree with you. That Halloween doesn't seem to be the way it used to. It doesn't seem to have the same feel.
Exactly.
But I think that's also because we're adults now. We're not looking at it through the eyes of a child. Our parents probably had the same feeling that we do now about Halloween in the 50s. When they were in the 80s, they were going, Halloween doesn't feel like the way it used to.
Really?
I really feel like that, yeah.
I don't know. My mom got really into Halloween. We had the decorations. We, you know, we always had this huge bowl of candy. We loved it.
My parents never really decorated. But, you know, they always had the candy to hand out. You know, every now and then there'd be a jack-o'-lantern, you know, sitting in the bay window or something like that. And, you know, they'd always take us out trick-or-treating and that. But in all honesty, you know, they never really went nutso.
But see, my mom, and it was really weird because my mom worried about all of that occult stuff and stuff like that. And that we'll get into next week,
We're making this a two-part show. This week we're going to talk about Halloween, the fun stuff. Next week we're going to talk about the quote-unquote evil side, which both Scott and I disagree with. But
nonetheless, so as for the fun side, but my mom, again, we had the decorations. Mom, when I got a little bit older, like through elementary school and whatnot, my house for the neighborhood kids that trick-or-treated together kind of became the center of operations. We'd all meet up at my house and then go out together.
Right.
You know, I love the specials. TV specials, the movies that would come out around this time. We had, we carved the pumpkins, multiple pumpkins.
See, I've never been good at pumpkin carving. Even to this day, I make my wife do it.
Oh, I suck at carving pumpkins, but I'll cut the triangle eyes and the little fangy mouth and, you know, everything. And it ends up looking really goofy. I've got too many of my friends are very artistic.
Oh,
so
that's something that's changed a lot. Pumpkins used to be you just carved a face and, you know,
and
stuff.
You were done.
And now they got all these patterns you can buy at Walmart and Target and that. It's ridiculous.
But at the same time, it's kind of cool. That's one of the cool changes. But nonetheless, Mom would also, we would take the pumpkin seeds and spread them out and slather them in Worcestershire sauce and other spices and then bake them. And I always
loved
that.
My wife bakes pumpkin.
Oh,
pumpkin
I love
seeds.
Them.
My
I
wife
love
does that.
Pumpkin seeds.
I didn't know you were going to kill it.
What?
It's from it's from the Charlie Brown Halloween special.
Oh my God! Yes.
Linus and Lucy go out and get the pumpkin, and they choose all of it, and then she stabs. And I didn't know you were gonna kill it.
Yes. Oh, how can
God!
I,
you're fucking dense.
I lose points.
Yes, you totally do. So on that level, let's talk about Halloween specials, which they don't have in very much anymore.
You can buy them on DVD now.
But I'm talking new. But when we were kids, everything had a Halloween special.
Oh, yeah.
Every cartoon show had a Halloween episode. Every live action show, all the sitcoms, even the live action shows, you know, Miami Vice and Baywatch had fucking Halloween episodes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Growing Pains, Charles in Charge, all that stuff. They had, you know, their special Halloween episode. Roseanne went absolutely batshit
for
the Halloween episodes.
With the...
You know, and then you had, you know, the Charlie Brown, you had the Fat Albert Halloween special, you had the Garfield one with candy.
Yes.
You know, and you don't have these anymore, and it's really a shame. You know, but in general, this one thing I wanted to talk about is Halloween it's coming back, but from say 99 through 2008, there was this huge lull where Halloween seemed to just be vanishing, really.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't see any of the specials on TV anymore. I mean, really, even to this day, I think Charlie Brown is the only Halloween special that they still regularly show. Except for like cable, you know, a cable channel might show the Fat Albert one or something like that.
I
was going to
say, I think I saw this, the Garfield one on the Cartoon Network once, but
maybe, but over, I'm talking network TV.
Yeah.
You know, you saw less and less in the aisles at the stores of Halloween merchandise.
This year, I think that is changing because I've seen a couple of huge, absolutely giant Halloween displays
except Walmart.
Yeah, Walmart.
What the fuck happened to Walmart? Walmart, every year, their Halloween aisle gets smaller and smaller. It's one aisle this year.
You know where I saw the biggest one? CVS Pharmacy.
Wow. Three aisles. Walgreens usually has at least two.
Mm-hmm.
Walgreens has usually got a decent amount.
You're right. I think this was a Walgreens. It was a Walgreens or a CVS, one of those two. But they had three full aisles. One of, like, house decorations, like the
skulls and gravestones and stuff.
Not only did they have the skulls and gravestones and stuff like that, the fun Halloween-y once a year stuff, they also had fall featured stuff like this candelabra made out into a pumpkin and
stuff you could also use at Thanksgiving.
Exactly. So you had the fall themed stuff and then the house stuff, and then you had an entire aisle of costumes. Half for kids, half for adults. And
then you had the candy.
You had the candy aisles were completely separate. Yeah. The other aisles around, you had an entire aisle of lights from the flashlights that the kids can carry with them when they go.
Right. Ones that are like light up little skulls that you decorate on the front of your house.
Yeah, to the decorative lights. To even a few special colored, like the black light bulb and stuff like that.
Something that I wanted to bring up is, okay, we're in Wisconsin. Now, this is going to be different in, say, Miami and maybe L.A., but...
Yeah, of course.
But in Wisconsin, there is a certain smell that's hard to articulate, but that is Halloween.
This is throughout the Midwest. There's that fall crispness to the air. You've got the
crispness to the air. You've got the dying leaves, yep. the decaying leaves. You know, you've got everything coalescing into it feels like Halloween. It's exactly. Hard to put into words, but if you know what I'm talking about, you'll know the Halloween feel, you know, and it's got that. And that's something that has not changed. The Halloween feel has not changed.
Thank goodness.
And that's something that, quite frankly, I love that. You know, it smells like Halloween. It looks like Halloween. You know, you're seeing black and orange everywhere, one thing is that we've seemed to have lost, frankly, is the news at Halloween. I remember when the local news channel would always do, you know, their Halloween stories. You know, they'd have some reporter dressed up as a Ninja Turtle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, out at the local hospital watching the kids getting the candy scanned.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and bullshit like that.
Or as a giant banana.
Yeah.
That's one that I remember. There was a reporter dressed up
as... Is that the one you find the most appealing?
Exactly. This is the one I find most appealing.
That's a little in-joke from the TV station we used to work at.
Yeah, you had all of these great, you know, the local news got a little goofy. Mom and dad got a little goofy. Things, they turned a little fun, you know.
And it doesn't do that anymore.
And it's a shame.
Because, you know, everything has become so, for lack of a better term, serious.
Well, before this turns into an hour-long bitch fest,
all right,
let's have some fun. Let's get in our little Wayback Machine.
Okay.
And please excuse the room if it gets a little wavy, but let's go back to the Halloween of our childhood.
Which to us is the 80s.
It exactly is the 80s. Now, the first thing that I remember is that usually in the end of September, you would see the Halloween displays pop up in the local stores.
Right, which I'd already bitched about you don't see anymore.
Three or four aisles would pop up with candy and decorations. And the particular costumes that I remember that were great was this
plastic masks with the smock.
Exactly. Plastic masks with this. And, you know, you would have the mask, which would be the face of some main character of mask Asteroids, the video game. Pac-Man was big.
I had an Optimus Prime one back before it was cool.
Exactly. And then the little smock thing that on the really deluxe ones, you'd get little stretchy pants.
Yes. Like
stretchy plastic pants to pull over your blue jeans. On the not so fancy ones, you just get this apron thing.
Well, and then the mask never fit right. You could never get the eye hole. You know, if you got the eye holes aligned, then it was the nose, the breathing holes were nowhere near where you needed to breathe and whatnot. The mask would never line up to your face.
Or that one teeny tiny elastic band
rubber band that
would
snapped.
Just snap constantly.
Well, that's because you had a fat head.
Yes. Yes. I still do.
Yes. I'm looking at that fat head right now.
Yes. But then the smock, it wouldn't, like if you, on your Optimus Prime one, it wouldn't make the rest of you try and look like Optimus Prime.
It would just kind of tell people, I am thinking I'm Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it would have like the Transformers logo across the front and then maybe a scene of Optimus fighting Megatron. But you would have the Optimus Prime face. And that was the ubiquitous costume.
Yes. They weren't the fancy. I mean, the shit they got today... Even
it's
just
made
to
out
send
of
your,
cloth.
Well, I mean, just to send your 10-year-old out. Good God, the amount of effort that goes into this stuff.
We have a Halloween costume for our cat.
You're disgusting.
No, I'm not kidding.
Anyone who dresses up animals should be arrested for animal cruelty.
Well, we don't now. We bought this thing, and it came with little cat booties,
and then it
has this thing that went over his head that made it look like Dracula was eating the cat.
You're lucky I never respected you because I would have lost whatever respect I had left.
But we dressed him up once and took photographs.
Ugh.
And then we took it off of him and never put it on him ever again.
So that was a valuable $20 you spent.
Oh, it wasn't even $20, but it was I just loved it because you looked at the cat and you knew that the cat was going, "What the fuck are you doing? Why? What? God, that's a camera. God damn it." You know, but nonetheless.
People,
so,
have you ever heard of dignity? Can I have some?
No.
Can I have some fucking
cat.
Dignity?
No, you can't. But nonetheless, let's see here.
But you also had, like, keep in mind, back in the 80s, you had ABC, NBC, CBS, and if you were lucky, your market had a Fox if it
exactly.
were the late 80s.
Yeah.
And then you had a couple of independent TV stations. The networks would all pretty much be the same standardized crap. Now, the independent stations would give you marathons of horror movies that had from their syndicated run. They would run every Halloween centric episode of any show that they had on their station. Anything horror related, they would run it. You know, and you don't see that anymore. A couple of years ago, VH1 Classic did a 24-hour block hosted by Alice Cooper of horror themed videos. You don't see that anymore. I mean, I remember in the 80s when MTV would have Elvira on for 6 straight hours doing that kind of stuff on Halloween night. And then they, you know, show Night of the Living Dead.
I'm trying to remember. There was kind of a resurgence of the Halloween special. And I don't remember what this was. I think it was about somebody's scary godmother.
Oh,
and it was one of those CGI.
It was actually called Scary Godmother.
Yeah, okay. But it was Scary Godmother.
I liked
the
comic. We've talked about my hatred of CGI,
yeah,
so you can tell that the special did not.
But that
do
came out
for
about
me.
The same time as that new Christmas special, Olive the Other Reindeer.
The is that the
with
Matt
the
Groening
dog,
one?
Starring Drew Barrymore as the voice of Olive the dog. That
I think that's the one Matt Groening did. Yeah,
yeah,
it had a very Simpsons-esque humor.
Very Simpsons with a very not Simpsons-looking art style.
Yes,
it had that weird.
Yeah. Okay, I'm pretty sure that's
90s.
The Matt Groening one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But you had that kind of a resurgence. But yeah, since then, it's kind of very slowly bubbling. So I'll tell you what. So anyway, we throw on our vinyl costume, with the plastic ill-fitting mask. You're Optimus Prime. I'm like Pac-Man the video game. And we go out. Now, I don't know about you. I didn't make a whole lot of mischief when I was younger. I was all about the fucking candy and going from house to house.
Oh, yes. I didn't start the pumpkin smashing and, you know, hitting mailboxes and TPing and that till I was a teenager. And I'm going to tell you little motherfuckers out there right now, okay? When I was a teen, I loved that shit. I'm an adult now. You fucking come near my house trying to smash my pumpkins or TP my house, I'm going to fucking bust your ass open. Your perception on what is fun in that regard really will change with age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because as a teenager, you think you know everything. I'm going to tell you this right now. You fucking don't.
And a big, big difference. Big difference, too. I always... Anyway, so let's move on through our night here.
Okay.
So you and I, we go out and we're trick-or-treating, and somehow I picture you... It's the weirdest thing, but I picture you as, like, this 8 to 10-year-old with the beard. I can't see you without the beard.
Well, you've never known me without the beard. I've had the beard the entire time you've known me, so...
But the beard is, like, full and not gray.
Hey, the gray gives me its distinction, okay? I know. Gives me distinction, fucker.
Just like my balding.
No, that just makes you look pathetic.
But nonetheless, so we go out, we've got our vinyl costumes, we're trotting down the street, and we come to the first house, and I gotta tell you, we're both really excited about this house, because they give out the best candy in the world.
Full-size fucking chocolate bars.
There you go. Full-size chocolate bars were a big one. I mean, loved that.
I was tempted at those houses to go home and put on something different and come back to get another chocolate bar.
There you go.
You know, just try and fool them.
And with a vinyl smock and a plastic mask, it was easy.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so you have the people that give out the full-size chocolate bars. Okay,
you have the people that give out the full-size chocolate bars. Now, something I did a couple of years ago, I wish I could claim credit as of being original, but it's something I read somebody else did, is as well as giving away candy, as a comic book collector, you know, any comic collector can tell you, you acquire comics in a horrible condition. I mean, even, you know, 20-year-old X-Men issues that don't have a cover or something, oh, yeah. You know, they're worthless, quote unquote, unless you're going to read them.
Oh, yeah.
I have a huge stack of what I call reader comics. I gave those away.
That's cool.
Every kid that came up to the door, I put a fucking comic book in their bag.
You gave them candy too.
I gave them candy too, and I gave them a comic book. I gave them an old Avengers issue or an X-Men or a Superman or something like that. I would randomly hand out fucking comic books to the kids, and I hope I rose the literacy level a little bit in early November.
I hope so.
As these kids, you know, got home and went, wow, the X-Men, cool, and sat and read an old Chris Claremont era X-Men.
Something my mom did after I moved out, when she gave out trick-or-treating, not only did she give candy, but I had this huge collection of, Matchbox cars.
Okay, and you set them on fire?
No. But they were just kind of in this random suitcase. Just
your mom gave them away? Bunch of,
yep. Candy in a Matchbox car. Candy in a Matchbox car. Oh, I was already a killer.
What prompted that?
She was moving. Pissed? No, she was moving. She gave away my bedroom. like all the furniture that now I look at, I'm like, I could use that now. She gave away my bedroom. But there was a lot of stuff of mine that she ended up finding new homes. Many of which went. Some of it I know went to charity and needy families, and I'm cool with that. A lot of it being old clothes and stuff, of course, went out. But nonetheless.
Well, speaking of, like we were talking about stores, you know what store usually has good stuff? Goodwill.
Yeah.
And literally, they've got vintage stuff because they're not just dealing with the shit that's on the market now.
Oh, yeah.
They're dealing with, you know, the old shit that's been given to them.
And I love it. I love stuff like that.
You know, I found the coolest thing at a Goodwill once that they probably should not have been selling. Okay. And I'm not talking something sexual. But I'm just looking through. They usually take, like, obvious horror movies and they put them in the Halloween section.
Right.
At our Goodwills here. I found the X-rated copy, the MPAA screener version of the original Friday the 13th on VHS.
Oh, wow.
Was just sitting there. And it was the MPAA screener copy of the version that we know as the X-rated cut of Friday the 13th.
Sure.
And I just went, what the fuck is this doing just here? What the fuck?
See, this is why I could never work in a thrift store. I'd be like, this is coming home with me.
Yeah.
This is
coming home with me. I would see everything that, okay, I want that, I want that, I want that. You know, you get 15 items in and 3 hit the shelf because the rest are going into my car.
Exactly. So, all right. So we go to the house with the best candy, the full-size candy bars or something like that. Living next to them is the fucking dentist.
The one that gives you floss and a toothbrush?
No, not the one that gives you... Because I never had one of those. This is my neighborhood.
I actually got that. I got fucking dental floss one
really?
Year.
Really? Yeah. No, the dentist in my neighborhood always gave us, like, apples or oranges or the fruit.
But see, your mom always told you, you know, you can't eat that kind of stuff because it might have razor blades in it, you know, because there was that all hysteria about people putting razor blades in the fruit.
Not when we're this young. We hadn't quite hit that yet.
Okay, well... To quick seg on to that, out of all the instances of that being reported, it was one in the nation that was ever proven to have been a random razor blade incident. Yep. The others were all committed by family members trying to get revenge on a certain family member. And so that whole razor blade in the apple thing is fucking bullshit.
And what's amazing is, I remember that incident. I remember the report on it.
I'm thinking like 86-ish, somewhere in there.
Somewhere around there. And it was since...
I think it was in Michigan.
Since all the kids remembered where they got that fucking apple, because it was the one person on the block giving out fruit instead of candy, they caught the guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a duh thing.
One that I always liked, and I honestly always was honest with this, is the people who had to work or something, couldn't be home, they just left a bowl of candy out and said, please just take one.
Oh, yeah.
I literally... But you would see other kids just come up and just fill their bag. They'd basically dump the bowl into their bag and leave. And you go, you little fuck.
Yeah, you know, there's other people share. And I always took one or two. And I'll be honest, I did an experiment one year. This had to be, I don't know, 2001, somewhere around there. I was in Evansville.
Okay.
And... lived in this apartment building, and so we didn't really get trick-or-treaters coming into the apartment building and up to each apartment, but everybody that wanted trick-or-treaters, we would go and we'd set up this little thing out on the porch or something, and you'd sit and the kids would come up and say trick-or-treat as you sat outside and dump stuff in. I set up my bowl, I left a note, and I went up to my apartment and I watched. And I was very, very proud that the kids in my neighborhood in Evansville, Indiana, never saw one of them take a big handful.
Well, you know what a really great place to trick-or-treat is?
What is that?
Especially if you're a kid or you've got a kid. This is going to sound weird, but hear me out, because I thought it was weird, too, when I was told it. But it turned out to be true. Old folks' home.
Really?
Yeah. Go to your local old folks' home and...
I'll bet they love to see the kids in the costume.
They love to see the kids, and they'll give you a whole bunch of candy. Literally, I thought it was weird, too, and by the time I'd heard about this, my son was too old, but I have a little niece, so took my niece. Man, they clean up.
Well, that's good.
So, you know, like I said, as weird as that sounds, old folks' home, great trick-or-treating grounds.
Cool.
Well, and it's isolated, so you don't have to walk a lot, and if it's fucking cold and raining, it's heated.
Yeah, definitely.
So, old folks home. Keep that in mind.
So, I will. I'll take my little nephew Tony there. So, we've moved on from the dentist's house. We've got our fruit in the bag, or in your case,
dental floss.
Bastard. Yeah. Okay, so we move on.
Well, actually, wouldn't you think the dentist would not want to give away that, and they'd want to give away candy
you
to bump their business up later on? I mean, you know, you'd think they'd want the teeth rotted, so you have to pay them to fix it. But
here's a bunch of caramels and a business card. Yeah, you know.
What do I know, apparently?
So we move on to the house that I kind of had mixed feelings about. But these are the people that give away the popcorn balls.
See... I never had a problem with popcorn balls. In a weird way, that wax that they would use to hold the popcorn, you know, into a ball shape, actually kind of enhanced the flavor in a weird way.
See, we always used a little caramel or something like that.
Well, I don't know what it was, but I was, you know, it didn't taste like just eating popcorn in a ball. It had a specific flavor unto itself.
Exactly.
You know, but then you always had, and now I'm going to throw out this is not that obscure of a reference, but we'll see. I'd like to see people, you know, call us and tell me how many people get this before I tell them.
All right.
Give us a call at 206-888-4531 or email us at lostinthestaticshow@gmail.com. Just, you know, I'm not trying to stump you, but see if you get this reference. But everybody had a house like the Klopex. You're looking at me that you don't get that reference either.
Hang on, let me see if I do or not.
You're not IMDb in this.
No, I'm not IMDbing it. Hang on just a moment. Okay, good. I did get it right. Sweet.
That fucker paused it to make sure he didn't sound like a fool.
Well, no, I paused it so I didn't, you know, go blah, 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 yeah. blah, blah, blah.
But, you know, everybody had a house like the
The Klopex.
The Klopex lived in somebody's neighborhood. You know, you had this house that's totally run down, that's just lawns overgrown, you know, nothing works. You rarely ever see the people other than to, you know, them screaming to get off your lawn. But for some reason, somebody always had the bright idea, let's go trick-or-treat at the Klopex.
Oh, the Schlesingers. In my old neighborhood in Muncie, it was the Schlesingers.
See, I can't remember the family's name and from my neighborhood, but, you know, like I said, every neighborhood has one of those. Every neighborhood seems to need to have that type of house at some point.
But, yeah, and you go and they'd yell at you, ha-ha, and you'd come back and TP their house or egg it or something. But, so...
So, you said, you know, on our little nostalgic journey...
On our little adventure here.
You know, you'd come into the Klopex house. Now, would you have gone into the Klopex house?
Oh, fucking hell no. I wouldn't have, because I'll admit, I was, as a little kid, I was a pussy. I was scared of everything.
See, I was always, and I'm not trying to, you know...
But the older kid, the 13 or 14-year-old, he would go. And
see, even at 10, I might not be, yeah, let's go, but it'd be kind of like, you know, what are they going to do? They're not going to fucking kill me, you know? I'm with a group of people. They're not just going to stab me in the face. So, you know, you got the Klopex.
Right.
And then you've got the average people that seem to just flip out at Halloween.
Oh, I
and
loved
just,
these
the,
people.
They had the lawn that had, you know, you got to keep in mind 1980s dollars. Still probably $1,000 worth of Halloween decorations and fog
plastic,
machines. And they had the sounds coming out of the speakers. Oh, yeah. And one guy dug up his lawn and he had this, it was a normal lawn the other time of the year, but it was like a grave that popped up and whatnot, and he had the sod laid on top of it, and you had those, you know, that one house on the block that always just flipped the fuck out and went all crazy for Halloween.
And maybe the dad would build the little mini haunted house in the garage.
In the garage, right.
So you go up, you get your candy, and then dad, who is obviously dressed like the classic Dracula or something, would be like, come on in.
Yeah, keep in mind, this is, you know, in the days before we saw a pedophile behind every kind gest. Nowadays, if you're kind towards a kid, pedophile!
Oh, I know. Pedophilia, you know, ruins everything.
And now, let's be fair, we'll get back to Halloween in a sec, but let's be fair, I am not trying to say that there's, you know, pedophiles don't use Halloween for their advantage, and I think there are just as many pedophiles, you know, now as there ever were. Or there's the same number then as now. It's just being reported more now.
Yes.
But I also think people jump to the wrong conclusion a lot of times. If you see a little child on the street that's lost and you go up and ask them where their mommy is, that's not you're trying to rape them. But nowadays that is, you know,
that's how
being
it's perceived
seen as such.
A lot of times. And it's a shame. But yeah, you would go, and of course, dad.
That's what I wanted to point out. There's nothing sexual.
Yeah, there's
or,
nothing.
You know,
there's nothing goofy going on here.
It's just, you know, dad's trying to have fun, where he's
exactly.
like, "Welcome into the house of horrors."
Yeah, and you'd have that little miniature haunted, and maybe you'd always lead you downstairs and then in through the garage, and you'd have the trash bag walls and stuff like that, and you know maybe
bad
mom
smoke
who got
effects.
Into it would. Would wait in a corner and jump out at you, you know.
And oh, and another house that I always loved, and again, every neighborhood always had one of these.
Oh, yeah.
The middle-aged, say, 40-year-old housewife that answers the door drunk as a fucking skunk.
Yeah.
Look, hey, you kids, what are you supposed to be?
Exactly.
You know, you'd always have that one lady that, you know, at 4 in the afternoon when you're trick-or-treating, is so fucking drunk she can barely stand up straight.
Mrs. LeGrand.
Every neighborhood's got one of those.
And I can name her because she's dead now.
Okay. But, you know, you always had the drunk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you always had the one or two, you know, there was always the rule, porch light is on, you trick or treat there. If the porch light is off, you avoid the house. you'd always have that one block where every house is lit up but one.
Yeah.
And it's not because they're not home. It's just because, you know, you can see through the window. They're in there watching TV. They just don't want to participate in trick or treat. And I'm like, you fuckers.
Now, my
actually, wait. There was one more house that every neighborhood always seemed to have. Speaking about, like, me giving out comic books and stuff, you always went to the religious person's house, too.
Ding.
They would hand out fucking Bibles and the evils of Halloween fucking pamphlets.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Oh,
and the Jack Chick tracks.
The what?
You remember Jack Chick?
No.
Okay, he's an artist, and he does these little comics. And they're little...
Like Bazooka Joe style stuff?
Almost, only a little bit longer than that, but a little miniature comic book about yay long, yay high.
Okay.
And his name is Jack Chick, and you can order his stuff, and you get it for free, and it's meant to pass out to people. But it was always anti-Halloween, always... pro-Jesus, you know, pretty right-wing nutso-Christian stuff. And I'll have to, I'll show you some of them. Are we talking
Christine O'Donnell, Glenn Beck-style nutso-Christian?
Worse. Wow. Because he took himself seriously. But yeah, Christine O'Donnell, she's the one that recently came out against masturbation, right?
Right.
Yeah, we're talking that kind of stuff.
She's the one that wants to ban... pornography.
Yes.
Just outright. I mean, Playboy is pornography to her.
Anything that they deem pornography, which could be something as simple as like Self Magazine or People or Vanity Fair.
Probably.
You know, but yeah, that kind of stuff. You would always get one of those and maybe one of those little miniature New Testaments.
Yep.
You know, into that. What do you put your candy in?
Big plastic... fake jack-o'-lantern with the plastic black handle.
That was a classic one.
Again, they don't do this very often anymore, but lots of restaurants would give away those the plastic bags.
Yeah.
You know, with their logos and stuff on it. Yeah, I remember having logos. Those from a lot of local restaurants. They would have those printed up.
Or another one that was classic with us was Mom would give us a pillowcase.
See, I never used a pillowcase. We always had something, quote-unquote, official.
Ah,
you know,
okay.
Official Halloween to put the stuff in.
Okay. But, yeah, I did have a few of those little plastic pails that were...
You can still get those at Target for, like, $3.
Really? Cool.
I was just at Target the other day. You know, you can still get those for a couple of bucks.
We'll have to go Halloween shopping together at some point. See what we can find.
I don't want to be seen in public with you.
Are you ashamed? He's just looking at me.
Absolutely.
You dick.
What next? You're going to go, why do we always have to fight on vacation? By the way, both of us are married to women. So just, you know, we're joking here, people. It's jokes.
You're ruining their sense of wonder. There are people that listen to this show and will sit for days going, are they gay? You know, and you've just ruined that. Way to go.
Yeah, because we're not gay.
Really?
Don't touch
Ow.
Me. but you know, you always have, like I said, every neighborhood seems to have been the same, where every neighborhood you'd go to had these one house.
Oh, yeah.
Of each weird thing. Oh, and then you always had, now this is something that grew more into the 90s rather than when we were kids, or I just didn't notice it when we were kids, was you'd always have the local bar that would go nuts for Halloween, too. A huge costume party on Halloween night, drink specials and whatnot.
See, we didn't have that much in Indiana, but bars here in Wisconsin play a little bit more of a role in the neighborhood than they did in Indiana.
Well, because, see, like, one of the neighborhoods we would trick-or-treat in, it was a residential neighborhood, but there was a bar in the middle of it. It was like the only business in the middle. It was surrounded by houses for blocks and blocks in every direction. But there was like this little local, you know, like pub. And we'd even stop in there and, you know, they would have candy to hand out.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
See, you know?
Well, see, since I grew up in Muncie, I had Ball State. So you would go to the student housing and whatnot. And they would, you obviously didn't go dorm room to dorm room. But you go up to the main desks and whatnot. And
I wouldn't trust what college students would do to candy, though. I wouldn't trust anything given to me by a college student.
Well, that's why you go up to the RA, and everybody knows that every RA in college is a loser. But you know, and you could trust them. But But yeah, we used to go trick-or-treating around Ball State, where the college kids would throw the big Halloween parties. And that's where you did your drinking, not in a bar. But the other thing that I always loved about Halloween was, maybe if Halloween was on a weekend or something, maybe that Thursday or Friday at school, you got to wear your costume to school.
See, I always hated that. You know, really? it was always kind of like, okay, I know this is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself.
Sure.
I didn't mind going out and seeing people seeing me like that. Yeah. But I didn't want all the people that I see every day to see me like that. I know that sounds weird. No, but, that
kind of makes sense. But
you know, it's like these people don't need to see me dressed as Optimus Prime.
But see, I always.
But the strangers it. In the neighborhood can see me dressed as Optimus Prime. I'm fine with that.
See, I always enjoyed the school because, number one, they would cut the day, and we would always end up with like 2 hours of the school day. Sitting in the gym, and we would get the Halloween lectures. The Halloween lectures were on safety.
Yep.
Dealing with strangers because your parents weren't fucking with you.
Which is a big thing that's changed. Every kid that comes up to the door has got a parent waiting at the end of the walkway for them.
Not that that's a bad thing. I'm not dissing that in any way, shape,
or form. But you got to think times have changed to the point where in a weird way, it's almost necessary.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I might not want to agree with that.
And what I'm saying is, I think having the parent with you isn't necessarily a bad thing, too, because that's time you get to spend with your kids, you know.
Right.
But nonetheless, so you got the safety lecture, you got the lecture on strangers, and if a stranger says something, you know, okay, blah, 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 blah.
Stranger danger.
And then back in the 80s and early 90s, you got the just say no, which was somehow built into everything. The Nancy Reagan anti-drug.
Because, of course, when you're getting that Snickers, they're also going to put in, you know.
Oh, they're going to put in some weed.
They're going to put in a little vial of Coke or something.
Exactly.
You know, of course.
But you got those three lectures. So there was 2 hours of the school day gone, a half hour of which you would spend 10 minutes walking around the gym in front of everybody, and then your class would go and sit down, and then everybody else would parade by you.
Right.
And we had to do this where everybody got up.
And
everyone
was so pathetic with this slumped over, I hate my life.
Exactly.
Kind of parade thing.
So what holiday memories do you guys have? I'd love to hear them. You know, if you're of a generation older than me and Josh, let us know what was it like, you know, in the 60s and 70s when we weren't around doing this. 206-888-4531. If you're of a younger generation, what was it like in the 90s? Did you guys notice that lull? You know, do you still go trick-or-treating now? Because I've been known to.
I have not been trick-or-treating, but like I said, I would take my son out and then my niece. So,
well,
yeah. I guess technically you'd say yes, I've been out trick or treating, but not for me.
See, and with my nephew Tony, I have no problem dressing up myself, and I'll go with him.
See, I got a funny story like that. Now, keep in mind, you can see my show. It Came From Beyond Midnight on SpooniExperiment.com.
Plug.
And, no, it's not. It's necessary for people that don't know what I look like to go see what I look like on that show.
Okay.
Okay. Plug. Now, when I was a teenager, I looked the same minus the beard. Okay? I had the long hair, you know, a heavy metal or punk rock t-shirt, you know, ripped up jeans, backwards hat. And what happened one year was, keep in mind, this is what I looked like every day. This is how I went to school. This is,
sure,
you know, the way I dressed when I got up. So I woke up on Halloween. I don't remember what year, so I don't remember what the hell day of the week it would have been. Ow. But I get up, I got holes in my jeans, I think I'm wearing an Iron Maiden t-shirt, my hair's long and hanging down. My mom asked me to hand out the candies from trick-or-treaters. This little girl, maybe 10 years old, goes, great punker costume! And I'm just thinking, wow, just this is how I look every day. This is not a costume, you know? To quote from Return of the Living Dead, what do you think? This is some kind of fucking costume? It's a way of life.
See, and I can't one of these days you're going to have to bring me a picture of yourself without the beard, because I can't picture it.
I've got this one photo where I've got four arms, or I've still got the trench coat and everything, Okay. And I've got my middle fingers up, and I got a short guy behind me sticking his arms out doing the middle finger. So it looks like I'm giving a four-finger salute.
Nice.
I've got one of those. Otherwise, most of my old photos, unless you can somehow talk my wife into giving them to you, which shouldn't be difficult because she loves to embarrass me.
All I have to do is ask her to post them on Facebook.
Don't you fucking dare.
Oh my God, I'm gonna.
Don't you fucking dare. Otherwise, I will ask Dawn for yours.
Actually, I have to admit, this is precisely, I had hair, and I had a mullet.
See, here's the thing. Like, he was saying before, he can't picture me without the beard.
Yeah.
As weird as this is, I can't picture him with hair.
Yeah.
I've never known him when he hasn't been bald.
I started going bald at 18.
Yeah, I have not known him since he has had hair, so I just can't picture him with hair.
But I used to have hair. I had the 80s poofy front hair.
Oh, God.
And then I had the mullet in the back. I mean, I was rocking that.
Just
thing.
A real quick thing.
Sure.
I'm going to do with Halloween. I was at Walmart the other day.
Uh-huh.
A f-mullet. Female mullet.
Yes.
This chick was rocking a hardcore. I mean, it looked like Billy Ray Cyrus's head.
I wonder if she was a lesbian. And I only say that because every single f-mullet I've ever seen has been on a lesbian.
But here's the thing. I didn't realize they still had f-mullets. You know? I mean, my wife and I are looking at her trying not to laugh in the checkout line like, do you see that huge f-mullet on this chick? What the fuck?
Who knows? They're out there.
But that's just a hairstyle I thought didn't exist anymore. I didn't think people still wore the f-mullet.
Yeah, they're
out
there.
I know dudes did, but I didn't think chicks still mulleted.
Dude, come on down to Georgia with me sometime.
Georgia.
They are rocking the f-mullet.
Anywho. God.
Back to Halloween.
Yeah. I just, when you mentioned the mullet, it made me think of that.
Candy bars that you couldn't stand. Because I would always get a few of these.
What's the one with the coconut in it?
Mounds?
It was
or
Mounds?
Almond Joy?
I don't know. I fucking hate coconut.
Mounds had the coconut, and then Almond Joy had the coconut with the whole almonds on.
Okay. Either way, they fucking suck.
Coconut blows.
Unless you're in a castaway situation, there's no reason to ever eat fucking coconut.
Although
it smells great on suntan lotion.
Yeah, I'll give you that much.
I always love candy corn. My wife can't stand it. My wife cannot stand candy corn in any way.
I love candy corn. I am not a fan of the modern bastardizations of it. Because I got
The chocolate version.
Well, the chocolate version. I got one the other day that was a strawberry version.
There's a red hot version.
Yeah.
I'm talking traditional candy corn.
Exactly.
You know what's really awesome? Something that I don't know if still exists.
Big yellow, middle orange, tiny white. That's the little fucking candy corns.
But I don't know if they still make these because I haven't seen one in years. But candy corn candles. Found a couple of years ago.
Really?
My wife found one of those. My God, that smelled so amazing.
I have not seen one of those ever.
You know, like I said, I don't remember where my wife got it. She just one day, she goes, "You like this shit," and threw it at me.
Oh, that's cool.
It just smelled amazing.
Was it shaped like a candy corn?
No, it was just a regular little,
but it smelled
burning
like
candle, it was a candy corn candle, and it just smelled fucking
that's
phenomenal.
That's cool as hell.
But, I was also a traditionalist when it came to candy. I want my Reese's Pieces, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, my Kit Kat, my Snickers.
M&M's.
Fucking Babe Ruth, Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah.
Shit like that. I was always a traditionalist. I didn't like when people try to go for the weird candies.
I was always a fan of the Hershey's Special Dark.
The gum. The kind that would lose the flavor after 10, ten
like
chews.
Fruit Stripe and...
No, the little balls.
Oh, yeah.
That, you'd chew them for a minute and a half and it would lose its flavor.
Oh, yeah.
But that minute and a half tasted so good.
And actually, I'll tell you what, there is a type of gum out there that will hold that flavor and has that same exact flavor.
It's called an Everlasting Gobstopper,
nope,
isn't it?
Double Bubble.
Double Bubble?
Double Bubble.
Say that again.
Double Bubble.
Okay.
Okay. My first memory of Double Bubble was we would go and get it, and every time my mom would fill up at this gas station in Albany, Indiana, Bowen's Amoco, I think it was at the time. I don't know what it is now. But it's one of the last stations where they still have full service gas.
Wow.
And
there's one of those here in Green Bay.
But you would go, and she would have the car filled up, and he would get the credit card or get the cash or whatever, and whenever he brought out the receipt from the cash register, he would bring Double Bubble for me. And he just, he did it for all the kids in the neighborhood. But
well, there's something else that it's I don't know if it's dying out or if I just haven't noticed it as much, but it's something I think in certain professions should be dying out, is if you work on Halloween night, you go to work in costume. You know, you see that, you know, your gas station attendant is dressed like a zombie.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And there are certain professions where, do you really want to see, you know, say you fall down or you get in a car accident, do you really want to see the ER doctor dressed as a Ninja Turtle?
No.
I'm sorry. There are certain professions where you don't dress up for Halloween.
Yeah.
And you know, like a doctor, a paramedic, something like that, you don't dress up for Halloween as far as I'm concerned.
I've never seen a doctor or a lawyer in costume at work.
I have. I saw an emergency room technician dressed up as a Ninja Turtle. And it's just kind of disturbing. I mean, this guy's an ER tech, and he's working on this lady. And it's just kind of like, I'm sorry, this is both kind of funny, fail blog-ish kind of thing, and really disturbing at the same time. That, you know, you're there to save people's lives. You don't dress up as a fucking Ninja Turtle.
See, and my dad's a doc. And whenever he went into the ER or into the hospital, he's an orthopedic surgeon, for those curious, he never dressed up.
Okay.
You know, occasionally he would take off the lab coat and tell people he was dressed as a lawyer because he was wearing a business suit underneath. But, you know, generally it was go in a suit, take off the suit jacket, put on the lab coat,
right,
and go to work. He never did that. And in fact, I think the hospitals where he worked, not even nurses or any of the support staff or anything like that, they weren't allowed to dress up for Halloween.
Okay.
So,
well, now we got about 9.5 minutes left.
Yep.
One thing I want to talk about is movies that feel like Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not just talking about like popping in a Friday the 13th or even a Halloween movie, because most of them don't feel like Halloween because, hint, hint, they were shot in California and they were shot in fucking July. So there's a reason those movies don't fucking feel like Halloween. But, you know, there are certain movies that when you watch them, they feel... Remember how earlier I was talking about how it felt like Halloween?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
These are movies that feel like Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
The most recent one is Trick or Treat by Michael Dougherty.
I have not seen that one.
Okay, first of all, it's an amazing movie.
Okay.
But that thing is dripping Halloween from its pores. He got the feel completely right.
Okay.
You know, then there are other films like Ray Bradbury's Halloween Tree.
Okay, yeah.
You know, yeah, that really feels like Halloween in that movie.
On a little bit different side, Hocus Pocus.
I was just about to bring that up.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a good movie. It's not well written.
No.
You know, Bette Midler is ungodly annoying in the thing. You know, Thora Birch, some people might like, but she's, I think, 10. So, yeah. It's kind of like lusting after Drew Barrymore and then remembering she was in E.T. You know?
Yeah.
But it's... The movie has the feel of Halloween dead on.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And, you know, there are certain scenes in, like, Halloween 4... really got the feeling of Halloween, especially the opening sequence where they're going around like small town rural Halloween. That did the pilot episode of Tales from the Dark Side, Trick or Treat. Yep. That one really feels like Halloween, as well as the Tom Savini episode Halloween Candy.
There was a Halloween episode of Freddy's Nightmares that got it dead on.
Freddy's too. Tricks and Treats, starring, yes, a very young Mariska Hargitay from, yes, Law and Order Special Victims Unit.
What was the other one that I was just
Friday the 13th, the series, Halloween.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You know, and that's something else. When I was talking about, like, Elvira hosting MTV and that, something that still felt like Halloween, even though it was always on Halloween, was the Halloween episode of Headbangers Ball.
See, I never caught it.
You know, it didn't matter what day of the, you know, Headbangers Ball was always on Saturday nights. Didn't matter what day of the week Halloween fell on, they always had a Halloween edition of Headbangers Ball.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
You know, is 2 to 3 hours depending on what era it's from, and they don't do that anymore. I mean, hell, even Headbangers Ball is still out there in that shitty new metal version that, you know, nobody watches, but they don't even do a Halloween episode anymore. It's just really, I mean, you'd think heavy metal is one music genre that's made for fucking Halloween.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
you know.
But, you know, I also remember when radio stations used to play the Halloween music.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or, you always got Monster Mash and the classic stuff like that.
But on the same token, NPR doesn't even play War of the Worlds anymore. They used to, every Halloween, they would play the Orson Welles War of the Worlds broadcast.
Yep.
Although technically, I'm a huge Orson Welles fan. His real broadcast was on October 30th.
Right.
So there's all these people that would play it on October 31st and go, look, it's this, you know, 50 years ago today. No, it wasn't. 50 years ago in a day.
Yesterday.
Yeah, it's like people, it was a Halloween prank, but it wasn't on Halloween night.
But
yeah, NPR doesn't even play the War of the Worlds broadcast anymore. Yeah,
you know, and now it seems like Halloween ends and Christmas begins.
No, Christmas begins before fucking Halloween. Right now, you walk into a Walmart, you're going to see just as large of an aisle for Christmas stuff as you are for Halloween stuff. Possibly, you know, twice as large. Because I know, like, the Target here has already started taking down the Halloween stuff and putting up the Christmas stuff.
But I remember, well, we were talking about radio stations and whatnot, and I remember one of our radio station is WZPL out of Indianapolis made a big deal that on November 1st they would start their Christmas music rotation. And they would start light, and then by the time you reach December, you're like, if I hear fucking 12 Days one more time, I'm gonna kill somebody.
The only Christmas song I can stand is that Trans-Siberian Orchestra one.
Oh,
just because it's
Carol of the Bells.
Just because it's pretty fucking rocking.
Yes, that is a kick-ass,
you know,
because
it's pretty fucking a rocking song. But we're not talking about Christmas.
We're talking about
Halloween.
We'll get to Christmas eventually. But nonetheless, so now that Halloween is having this resurgence, and I don't have kids of my own, but I have my nephew, and I'm finally going out and trick-or-treating with them. I just want to say that, yeah, ever since about 2008, it's really starting to feel like Halloween again, and I'm excited that that's
back.
Because
for a good decade before that, yeah, it didn't.
Exactly.
And you know, I don't know if it was just the time, it was the post-September 11th feeling.
Yeah, I don't know,
you know. It just didn't feel like Halloween anymore, and nobody seemed to celebrate it. Now, you're seeing everybody on, you know, a street is decorating. Now, like I said before, everybody is got their lights on and they're handing out candy.
Exactly.
Whereas in, say, 2004, any given block, over half that block would not be doing anything for Halloween.
Exactly.
And they would not have any kind of candy.
Exactly.
And that's really sad when you come down to it, you know, because Halloween is one tradition I think shouldn't go away. You know, like I said, I always put it, all other holidays are just crappy excuses why I don't get mail. You know, none of the other holidays mean a damn thing to me.
See, and Halloween is, of course, big, you know, me being in a pagan household and being a pagan myself for so long and whatnot. Yeah, it's a huge holiday for us. It's New Year's.
And see, I'm an atheist, and I love it. You know,
you just love it.
So does my wife. So does my son. Everyone in my family, you know, we don't celebrate Christmas. We don't put up a tree. We go nuts for Halloween.
That's cool.
And we're atheists, so
that's cool.
We don't even have the you being a pagan that means something to you.
Right.
It doesn't to me.
It's just pure fun.
Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's hard to articulate. There's just something about this month, those 31 days, that you just cannot put into words. It's a feel, it's a style, it's smells, it's the visuals, which, you know, some people might say that Christmas is to them, you
right.
know, that December does that to them,
right.
And it just that's what October is to me.
Yeah.
October's my, you know, my wife's birthday is a week before Halloween. I kept telling her she should have held on for another 7 days, you know, 8 days technically, but you know, she should have held on until Halloween.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got about a minute left. Why don't you give me 30 seconds or so and just tell me a quick happy memory of Halloween that you had that you hope that other people can share.
It's a weird one, but okay. My friends and I were out pumpkin smashing when I was 16, and one of my friends decided to start a fight with another one. I don't mean like a fight, but they were goofing around, and he ended up becoming being a smartass and ended up taking a digger into the mud face first because, you know, that's karma, motherfucker.
It was my favorite Halloween memory is it was on Halloween during trick-or-treating was the very first time I got to hold hands with a girl and put my arm around her as we walked down. And yes, I was like 10. But, you know, I finally got to hold hands with the girl and everything like that. Thanks a bunch, everybody, for joining
us. Jackalope 105. Thanks, Todd.
See you next week.
Bye.